John Macaulay Palmer was the governor of the state of Illinois from 1868 to 1873. On one occasion, he went to visit the state penitentiary in Joliet. Joliet's just southwest of city, just southwest of Chicago. I used to drive by there every year on my way to the seminary. But on this occasion, he went to visit the prison, and being the governor of the state, he had the right to pardon criminal offenses. So as you might expect, there were many men who asked him for a pardon. Many men told him that they had been unjustly convicted. They were innocent and they didn't get a fair conviction and they should be pardoned. After talking to a lot of the men, a lot of the prisoners, and talking to them individually and in groups, before he left, he stood up before all of them on the platform and said that, he said, if there is anyone here who believes he is guilty and is justly sentenced, that he would rise. And out of the 1,000 men, one man stood up in the back of the hall. And the governor said in front of everybody, I will remember you, and when I get home, I will write out your pardon. Because I don't want you, one guilty man, to stay here and corrupt all these innocent men. If we want to have forgiveness for our sins, we have to acknowledge them. We have humble and contrite admission of our guilt before God is essential for the forgiveness of our sins. And our Lord himself said, I have come not to call the just, but sinners. So if we don't acknowledge that we are sinners, then we don't acknowledge that Christ has come for us. Confession is an essential part of every Catholic life. But we're going to talk today about why we have to go to confession and how we go to confession, what we need to confess, some of the ins and outs and details of this Holy Sacrament. First of all, why? Why do we have to go to confession? It is possible that a person have sins forgiven outside of confession if they have perfect contrition, but they still have to confess. Why is that? Very simply, because God has established things that way. God could have chosen any methods he wanted for the forgiveness of sins, but he chose to institute confession. And this is very clear in Holy Scripture. Our Lord said to his apostles, Amen, I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He likewise said to them, to his apostles, He that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him who sent me. And lastly, very plainly and simply, he said to them, Receive the Holy Ghost, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. These same words that our Lord spoke to his apostles, his priests, his bishops, at that time, after his resurrection, these same words are spoken by the bishop to the priest at his ordination today. And St. Paul says that every high priest is taken from among men, being ordained for men in the things that pertain to God, that he may offer up gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on them that are ignorant and that err, because he himself is also compassed with infirmity. And therefore he ought, as for the people, also for himself to offer for sins. Neither does any man take the honor to himself, but he that is called by God, as Aaron was. God in his providence chose to use men as his instruments, men with their faults and their failings and their fallen human natures. But it is so clear in sacred scripture that we must either acknowledge it and make use of confession, or basically reduce scripture to being meaningless. But that is why. That is why we must make use of confession. What is it that we must confess? I'm going to mention here the minimum, what we have to do. There's also much better to do to go above and beyond. But the things that must be confessed are certain mortal sins that have never been forgiven in confession before. So any serious sin that we're sure is a serious sin, and that we're sure has not been forgiven in confession, that's what we have to confess, those serious sins. So it could happen that a person maybe can't remember if they committed such a sin or if they confessed it in the past. In that case, it's not certain, and they don't have to mention it again. Usually it's good to do so, but they don't have to. But if there's a serious sin they know they committed, and they know it hasn't been forgiven in confession, they have to confess that. And they have to tell the kind and number of sins. So what they did and how many times. They don't have to give a whole bunch of details, but they do have to tell what they did. For example, suppose a man confessed, "I punched my friend." He wouldn't have to say, "I punched him hard the first time and a little bit harder the second time." He wouldn't have to give all the details. But if he had assaulted his father, that would be a different sin. There's a different commandment there to honor the father and mother. He's violating two commandments. So we have to tell the things that change what the sin is. We have to tell if it's serious, things that change that it's serious, but we don't have to give every detail. And we should not usually mention the names of anybody else. Remember, we're there to confess our sins, not somebody else's. You know, there's a joke, and this is one I heard before I was a priest, you know, that the woman goes into confession and makes her confession. At the end, the priest says, "Okay, that'll be 10 Hail Marys in penance for your sins and 10 Hail Marys in penance for your husband's sins." But we want to confess our own sins in confession. But that said, we tell the kind and the number. Now, if we forget a sin in confession, as long as we have sorrow for all of our sins, all of our serious sins, which we have to have, it's still forgiven if we just forget it. But we need to mention it the next time that we go, that we forgot such and such a sin. In regard to venial sins, small sins, we don't have to confess those in confession, but usually it's good to do so because we get grace and it helps us to overcome them. So normally it's best to do so, but we don't have to. And for that reason, it's not as we don't have to be quite as particular necessarily with the number, etc. A person can also confess sins from the past. So, for example, suppose they have some particular fault they have trouble with. They could confess even very generally, "I'm sorry for all my sins against the first commandment or the second commandment." They'll get grace to help with that. And there does have to be some sin. It's a sacrament, and there has to be some sin to be forgiven. So if we don't have anything new to confess, we could go to confession if we want to and receive that sacrament, receive that grace, and mention generally some of our sins from the past. We don't have to be specific. But whatever sin we mention, we have to be sorry for it, including our venial sins. So that is the why and the what. What about when? The bare minimum laid down by church law is that we have to confess any serious sins at least once a year. So if there's serious sins, they have to be confessed at least once a year. That's the bare minimum. But the ideal is frequent confession. And why not? When we go to confession, we have our sins forgiven. We receive grace to avoid those particular sins in the future. We receive an increase of sanctifying grace. It's a win-win. So frequent confession is the ideal. Now, the obligation of the once-a-year confession for serious sins, we usually speak of that around Easter, but it can actually be any time of the year. For children, oftentimes, frequent confession for children and young people is very beneficial, maybe once a week or even more often. At the seminary, and we had a boarding school there as well, and a fairly large school, they had confessions available every day. So one priest would say Mass, and another priest would hear confessions during Mass during the week. For adults, frequent confession is likewise very beneficial, although they may find in their case that not quite the same frequency, but there's no reason that it can't be frequent as well. Now, what about how to go to confession? Now, all of us learn, as we prepare for First Holy Communion, how to confess. And people sometimes learn a little differently some of the particulars about confession, but there's some general things that apply to all of them. So there's five things that you need if you want to make a good confession. You need to examine your conscience. So obviously you have to know what sins you committed, what sins you're going to confess. You have to be sorry for your sins for the right reasons. You have to make up your mind not to commit any serious sins again. We have to tell our sins honestly and completely in confession, the kind and number, and we have to be decided to do the penance the priest gives us and fulfill that. Now, the examination of conscience, it depends on the person how exactly that will be made. Everybody's a little different. Usually, generally speaking, it's good to make a brief examination of conscience each evening, and then maybe to make a little more thorough one before our confession or from time to time. The sorrow we have for our sins, and this is very important because our sins cannot be forgiven without being sorry for them. So even if a person deceived the priest and had no intention of correcting their life, their sins would not be forgiven because God can't give grace into a soul that still loves its sin. So we have to be sorry, and our sorrow has to be supernatural. That means it has to proceed from a reason having to do with our faith. Fear of hell, the hope of gaining heaven, but most especially the sorrow for offending God, who is so very good. Our sorrow is not an emotion. This is important, that the emotion of feeling sorry is a good thing and oftentimes there, but not always. Sometimes we don't feel the emotion of being sorry for our sins. But true sorrow is in our will. It's a decision that we hate that sin. We detest that sin truly. And we make up our mind not to commit any serious sin again. So with one serious sin has to go all our serious sins. It can't be just one. It's possible for a person to have their serious sins removed and still hang on to venial sins. But to get rid of serious sin, all of them have to go. So we have to have that sorrow and that decision not to commit them again. Now, the decision not to sin again, that firm purpose of amendment, as we call it, not to commit a serious sin again, this could disturb somebody because they might think, well, I've fallen so many times. I've committed so many faults. I confess the same thing over and over. Am I really sorry? Sometimes that can be an indication that someone's not sorry if they're not trying at all to become better. But we have fallen human natures, and the decision and the resolution to become better, the firm purpose of amendment, that can exist alongside the fear that we'll sin again. There's a good example to illustrate this. Suppose a man decides that he wants to climb Mount Everest. He makes all his preparations, he buys all his supplies, he does all his training, gets his crew together. He has nothing but a firm purpose to reach the summit of that mountain. He is absolutely decided. His only intention is to do that. At the same time, he knows that most people that have tried have failed. He knows that there's a very high chance he will fail. But that doesn't change at all his firm purpose of amendment, his firm decision to achieve that goal. So it's likewise with our purpose of amendment for sin. It has to be there, and it has to be real. We have to really firmly make up our mind not to commit any serious sins again. But that doesn't mean we're not aware of the fact that we have fallen human natures, and even that we might be afraid of that we'll fall again. So those two things are essential for confession, the sorrow and the firm purpose of amendment. When we go to confession, we enter the confessional and say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." And then we tell how long it's been since our last confession. The reason for that is that the priest has to make a judgment about our sins, and so he has to have an idea of, you know, how short a time or how long a time they're committed in. It also helps him to give advice, depending how frequent the sins might be or how long a person might have been away from confession, etc. So we tell how long it's been, and then we tell our sins, simply and honestly and clearly. The priest may ask some questions, normally not until the end of until we've said everything. The purpose of questions in confession, the priest will never ask you useless questions. The reason he asks questions in confession is to make sure you make a good confession, so maybe he has to ask about the sins committed, and to help give you good advice. So the only reason the priest will ever ask questions in confession is for the benefit of your soul. So we should answer any questions he asks clearly and honestly. Listen to any advice he may give. When we finish saying our sins, we should say, "For these and all the sins of my past life, I am truly sorry," or something like that. That expresses our sorrow. We're indicating that we're sorry for these sins, not just stating them. And then we should listen to the advice which the priest may have to offer, listen for our penance, and remember that, and then make the act of contrition when the priest indicates. And usually at the same time, he'll say the words of absolution. Now, sometimes it happens that people are very afraid of going to confession. I remember some of you have heard me tell this story before, but when I was in the seminary, there was this woman there I met. She was in her 70s probably, and she had been every religion in the book. Baptist and various kinds of Protestant, and I think some New Age religions. She had been a witch for a while. Eventually, after decades, she found her way around to the truth. She smoked like a chimney, like a couple packs a day or something. She was quite the character. But she found the true faith and she practiced her religion. One day she said, "I hate going to confession." I was talking to her after Mass one day at a seminary. "I hate going to confession. I do it anyhow because I have to, but I hate it every time." It was pretty funny. Old lady. She's since passed away. But we shouldn't be afraid of confession. The priest is there in the confessional to forgive our sins, to administer the mercy of God. And if we ever have any difficulty in confession, any difficulty whatsoever, we can just ask. Even if maybe we've been away for a long time and we don't know what to do, you could just go into a confessional and say, "Father, I don't know what to do." And he would help a person through their confession. Or if a person went into confession and totally drew a blank, they could just tell, "Father, I draw a blank," and he would help them through. Or if a person didn't feel sorry for their sins, or they didn't think they were sorry enough for their sins, they could just go into confession and say, "Father, I'm having a hard time being sorry for my sins," and he'll help them too, with that difficulty. So there should be nothing that keeps us away from confession. The devil loves to keep people away from confession. He knows that if a person goes and makes regular confessions, good confessions, he's going to lose them, and God will gain them. So he likes to keep people away by any stratagem possible. So we should never be afraid or worried about going to confession. It's only to our benefit. And when you're in the confessional, you are the only priority of that priest. It doesn't matter how long the line is outside. It doesn't matter anything else. You're his only priority, the soul that God has put in his care at that time. So you should be very at ease in confession. And any difficulties, just bring them forward and the priest will help you through them. Now I'm going to read for you the words that the priest says in closing, the words the priest says when he's forgiving your sins, that usually you only hear him whispering in Latin. But just one detail before I do that, is that not all the prayers that the priest says are the essential ones. So there's a part, the sacramental part, that he says he forgives your sins. He always says those. But there's some prayers that he can leave out or he can add in, depending on circumstances. So that's why you might notice sometimes it seems like perhaps he prays a little longer, a little shorter. If it's a busy day, he might leave out a couple of the non-essential prayers. If it's during the week and things are very relaxed, he might say all of those prayers. But of course, the essential ones are always there, and you should never feel rushed in confession for that reason at all. But that's just a little explanation of why sometimes you might notice that. But these are the prayers that the priest says in forgiving your sins. May the Almighty God have mercy on thee, forgive thee thy sins, and lead thee into life everlasting. Amen. May the Almighty and merciful Lord grant thee pardon, absolution, and remission of thy sins. Amen. May our Lord Jesus Christ absolve thee, and by his very authority do I absolve thee, from every bond of excommunication and interdict, insofar as lies within my power and thou hast need of it. Furthermore, I absolve thee from thy sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merits of the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints, the good you have done and the ill you have endured, profit you unto the remission of sins, increase in grace, and reward in eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.